our book, So Panteth My Soul After Thee, O God, Psalm 42:1.
The Lord for another day. Amen. Praise the Lord. I was just thinking when Samuel quoted that verse of Psalm 42:1, the brilliance of the King James Bible. You know, somebody says a heart, you think right here, don't you? That verse said, a heart, and then it says, so my soul panteth after thee. Not as a heart panteth after a water brook does my heart pant after you, but my soul panteth. So it's, you see the difference? It'd be easy to misunderstand as you, in quoting the verse to someone, if you use the word heart, even though they're totally two different things. It's amazing that the genius of the King James Bible. Amen. You say, well, that's because you're just a simpleton from Tennessee. That's right, but I love my Bible. I love my King James Bible. Amen. 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 Praise the Lord. Amen. You said that. You said Bible scholars would reject every bit of what you just said. That's all right. I reject most of what they say, too. So it's amen. All right. By the way, let's have just a word of prayer before we get started. Our Father, we thank you for the day that you've given us and for our time together. And Lord, we just pray now that you bless this time, that you, Lord, would open our hearts that we can receive the truth of the Word of God. And Lord, that you'd help us to receive that Word the way we wished we had when we stand before thee in glory. And Father, I pray now that you'd just use these words for your honor and glory. And Father, I pray now that for this preacher that you would so fill me to the uttermost. Do that I'm not able to do. Say that I'm not able to say. But Lord, we know that the Spirit of God can get into our hearts. And we ask you, Lord, for the Spirit of God to write indelibly the truths of the Word of God upon our hearts. And Lord, I pray for this preacher that you would so fill me to the uttermost. For we pray in Christ's name. Amen. Amen. All right, we're going to go to Jerusalem and going over to Mount Calvary today for just a little bit. And as we come to Jerusalem and to this Mount Calvary that day, the day of the crucifixion, we're going to see, we're going to run into several different people in this passage or in the whole chapter. As we would look in Luke 23, but we run into Pilate, who wanted really to get rid of Jesus just as quickly and easily as he could. But You can't avoid making a serious mistake about Pilate just because he wanted to get rid of him. Pilate ended up condemning an innocent man and releasing a guilty man and making friends with the wicked. What a record for a Roman ruler whose responsibility was to uphold the law and to give people justice. It sounds like a lot of our lawmakers today are taking an education from Pilate, doesn't it? But then we run into Herod this day, who wanted to see Jesus do a miracle. This evil king would make Jesus, the Son of God, make him take him into the court of the entertainer, if you would, and do a miracle. But Jesus performed no miracles that day in the presence of Herod. He spoke no word to Herod. Herod had silenced God's voice, and there was nothing left for him but divine judgment. Then we run into Barabbas. Barabbas deserved to die, but was set free, and because Jesus took his place. And you think that Barabbas maybe ran to Calvary and looked up at the man who had died for him? Probably not. He probably just took off running and was glad he was free and free from the sentence of death and free from prison. So he just got out of there as soon as he could and probably returned to his old ways. He was free, but he was still in bondage. He was free physically, but he was still in bondage to sin. Then we run into, as I'll read this in a moment, if we read all of it, you'd run into these. All those people and many more for whom Jesus prayed. Remember, he said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Oh, what grace. Can you imagine the grace that it would take to go to Calvary and take such punishment as our Savior took and then say, Father, forgive them? Wouldn't you think that God himself would have license to be bitter of soul? Be bitter. But no, he said, forgive them. Oh, what grace it was. Then we run into the unbelieving thief. And we'll say a little bit about him as we go on. Then we run into the believing thief who exercised a great faith when he asked Jesus to remember him. And then we run into Joseph of Arimathea that was exercised a great courage when he openly took the bodies of the Lord from the cross, and he defiled himself for the Passover week, but it made no difference. He had met the Lamb of God, apparently. And that was all that really mattered. I'm going to read verse 39. Just read just a few verses of Luke 23. And one of the malefactors which were hanged railed upon him, saying, If thou be Christ, save thyself and us. Now, that was a repeat of what had been said previous when they had said that, if you be the Christ, save thyself, if you be the Christ, the chosen one. But here's at verse 39, one of the malefactors which were hanged, railed on him, saying, If thou be Christ, save thyself and us. But the other answering rebuked him, saying, Dost thou not fear God, seeing that thou art in the same condemnation? And he indeed justly, for we receive the due reward for our deeds. But this man hath done nothing amiss. And he said unto Jesus, Remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. And Jesus said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, today shalt thou be with me in paradise. And it was about the sixth hour, and there was a darkness over all the earth until the ninth hour. And the sun was darkened, and the veil of the temple was rent in the midst. And Jesus said, and when Jesus had cried with a loud voice, he said, Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit. And having said thus, he gave up the ghost. Let me say, he gave up the ghost for you. He gave up the ghost for me, for the world, the sins of the world. Now, I want to go back and look at these two thieves that were hanging there, one on either side of our Lord that day, for just a moment. And I want to talk to you tonight about the results of bitterness. Now, out of the verses we read, we see that there are two men who were guilty of the same crime. They were dying the same death. Both were in the same circumstances, yet both views were totally different. By the way, both of them had a request, if you notice that. One said, save thyself and us, if you be Christ. The other one, the believing thief, didn't question whether he was Christ or not. He just said, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. Both of them had a request. But I'd like you to notice, as far as bitterness is concerned, the bitterness of this one, of course, the whole crowd that was around that wanted to do away with Christ, who was not guilty of anything, completely innocent. But the bitterness of the crowd, this is the... If you please, this is the Antifa crowd of that day. The ones that just wanted to tear up, wanted to hurt someone. And the bitterness seemed to ooze out of the crowd. Don't we seem that we live in a day where bitterness just seems to ooze out of the crowd? That was what was happening here this day. Somebody had to pay. According to them. But you see, what they did not realize that in eternity past, it was already decreed who was going to pay. But then you see this bitterness, and then you, of course, Barabbas, you know that he was a murderer. He was one who, I would imagine, that there had been, for him to murder someone, at least bitterness had, for a moment at least, had risen up and caused him to murder somebody. And you figure, you see this unbelieving malefactor that hanged beside Christ. He said, if thou be Christ. If you're really what you say, notice he said, save thyself and us. Not just, well, I'm sure me and the other guy that's hanging here, yourself and us. But you see, here's one in his bitterness. He was willing to rage out at the Savior. If you be the Savior, if you be the Christ, save thyself and us. But then we see, as we look at the believing thief, he just simply said, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. You know, we live in such a day that we do see so much bitterness on the rampage, don't we? Our nation is almost crippled because of bitterness. But what are the consequences of bitterness? Well, let me say, what are the physical consequences of bitterness? I'm going to ask you, is there any bitterness in your heart? Well, first of all, bitterness can cause a chemical imbalance in the body. I'm going to read you just a brief article from C.I. McMillan From his little book, None of These Diseases. If you've never read this book, I would urge you to get the book and read it. He says, ulcers, toxic goiters, high blood pressure are only a few of the scores of diseases caused by bitterness. Our resentments call for hormones from the pituitary, adrenal, and thyroid, and other glands. These excesses of hormones can cause diseases in any part of the body. So you see, bitterness can cause a chemical imbalance in the body. But then it affects our facial features. It's amazing to me that you can see, sometimes you can detect quite readily when someone is bitter. Listen to what the Word of God says in Genesis chapter 4 and verse 5. This has to do with the Cain and Abel situation. Cain had killed his brother. And he says, but unto Cain and to his offering he had not respect. And Cain was very wroth, and his countenance fell. Genesis 4 and verse 5. And the Lord said unto Cain, why art thou wroth? And why is thy countenance fallen? So apparently, there's an outward expression of bitterness. How many times has a teenager pointed their fist or their finger in the face of their parent and said, I hate you? How many times has a husband or a wife said the same to their mate? But then not only are there chemical imbalances in the body caused by hatred or caused by bitterness, and the facial features are altered. But you know, the health of the bones can be affected by bitterness as well. Notice that bitterness has a direct and devastating effect upon the skeletal system of the body. And by the way, this does not mean that everyone that is crippled in some way is bitter. But let's listen to what the psalmist says. The psalmist says in 32:3, the psalmist said this, when I kept silent, in other words, when I kept my bitterness inside and wouldn't confess it, wouldn't let it go, wouldn't turn it loose, when I kept silent, my bones waxed old through my roaring all the day long. In other words, the bones got old before their time because of bitterness. Proverbs 15 and verse 30 says, the light of the eyes rejoiceth the heart, and a good report maketh the bones fat. In other words, that's just the opposite of bitterness, you see, and what it does to the bones. Oh, and I love this verse. And if you've known me any length of time, you know how much I enjoy this verse. It says, a merry heart doeth good like a medicine. I love to laugh. Why is it, preacher? Folks, if you knew me and you knew my life, you know how many times I've wept. If you knew how many times that I didn't know if the sun would ever shine again. And I rejoice and I thank God for every time that I can have a merry heart that doeth the good like a medicine, that I can rejoice and I can laugh. And I love to laugh all over. Amen. I love to just... A merry heart doeth good like a medicine, Proverbs 17:22. But a broken spirit drieth the bones. So you see, bitterness has a physical effect on the body. Bitterness will alter our health. But what are some of the spiritual results from bitterness? I would say to you, first of all, it causes the inability to love God. Notice what the Bible tells us in 1 John 4 and verse 20. If a man say, I love God and hateth his brother, he is a liar. First of all, if I say I love God and I hate you, I've just lied. For he that loveth not his brother whom he hath seen, how can he love God whom he hath not seen? And this commandment have we from him, that he who loveth God love his brother also. You see, if I have bitterness in my heart and hatred in my heart, it causes an inability to love God. Why? Because I can't love you that's made in the image of God. So, spiritually speaking, bitterness can cause the inability to love God. But then turn with me, if you would, to the Gospel of Matthew. Matthew chapter 6. And notice the Lord says this after in verse 9 of Matthew chapter 6. And after this manner, therefore, pray ye. Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. For if ye forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if ye forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. Now, I'm submitting to you, this verse many times has been used out of context. This is not dealing with salvation. Because it has to do with the forgiveness of sins of the child of God. It has to do with being forgiven and knowing you're forgiven. I'm convinced myself that, I mean, he says, but lead us not into temptation. Verse 14 says, for if we forgive men their trespasses, if ye forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if ye forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your heavenly Father forgive your trespasses. I'm going to say to you that bitterness causes one doubt regarding our relationship with God. You see, if there's bitterness in one's heart, they don't know for sure that they have a clear conscience. They don't know that their sins are forgiven because that bitterness has not allowed them to forgive their brother or forgive someone that's trespassed against them. So I would submit to you that there's spiritual results in bitterness, first of all, of the inability to love God. And then it brings doubts regarding our relationship with God. And let me say, or our spiritual fellowship with God, let me say. Because someone that harbors bitterness in their soul against someone else cannot be in a right relationship with God our Father. Folks, I'm going to tell you a quick story. I was not raised in a Christian. My dad was not a Christian unless he was saved about 3 years prior to his death. It was habit that it would go 2 weeks at a time and I wouldn't see him. He was on the dram drink. In our day, we can't call it drunkard. In our day, we've got to be more kind. We've got to be politically correct and say that he was sick with alcoholism. But all that went with that were part of his week and his day. And he came home after us not seeing him. And this was, I'll never forget, the day after Christmas. Hadn't seen him in 2 weeks. And he apologized. He came in the front door and he said to me, I'm sorry, I should have been here. I got here when I could. Now, he lived there. Okay, he lived there. My mother lived there. I lived there. And I looked at him and I said, you would have done us a favor if you hadn't come home at all. I was a rebellious teenager. I shall never forget watching Lake Lanier pool up in his eyes. I had cut him deeply. And I walked out the door and I never made that straight. Many years later, I was a teenager, not married. Many years later, after married, 2 children, one on the way, and away in Bible school, I get the phone call to call home. I called. We were at the church having a revival meeting, and they called me to the telephone, and I called. They said, you need to call home. The highway patrol had come, had found where I was, and had told me to call home. And I called home there from Greenville. My cousin answered the phone, and I said, that old Pat, is Mom there? She said, yeah, I'll need to let you talk to your mom. And so Mom got on the phone, and she said, Dave. I said, what is it, Mom? She said, Dave, it's your dad. I said, is he sick? She said, he's dead. The very first thing that went through my mind was many years before. I walked out. You see, I had seen him many times since then. He was at our wedding. He hugged me and told me how proud he was of me. But I never made that straight. I never got that straight with him. And that's the very first thing that went into through my mind. And I just kind of fell back in the chair. I couldn't believe it. And you know, there was a chance. I learned later that my dad could have gotten saved at a meeting. And I honestly prayed after that, after the funeral, and after we got back in the swing of things. I was praying one night, and I asked the Lord. I said, if my dad is in heaven, would you tell him I'm sorry? Would you tell him that I was just a rebellious teenager? And I really didn't know what I was saying. I'm going to tell you, folks, bitterness in the heart can retard, can bring doubts regarding our fellowship with God. Then, if you'll turn with me, please, to the book of Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 12. In Hebrews chapter 12, we're going to find that bitterness hinders the spiritual development of other people. You see, the one thing I thought about later was the many times that I had witnessed to my dad after I got saved, and I wasn't Christian enough to go back and say, I'm sorry that I was wrong. Listen, Hebrews chapter 12, verse 11 says, no chastening for the present seemeth to be joyous, but grievous. Nevertheless, afterward it yieldeth a peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them which are exercised thereby. Wherefore lift up the hands which hang down and the feeble knees, and make straight paths for your feet, lest that which is lame be turned out of the way, but let it rather be healed. Follow peace with all men and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. Looking diligently, lest any man fail of the grace of God, and lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, and thereby many be defiled. Are you saying, preacher, that my bitterness can defile someone else? I didn't say that. The Word of God said that. I didn't say, you telling me, preacher, me having a wrong attitude and a bitter attitude can affect somebody else? That's what that Bible just said. It hinders the spiritual development of others, and thereby many be defiled. Bitterness. You say, preacher, you don't know my case. No, I don't know your case. But I know I've found it in my life that life is too short to call bitterness up every day and live in bitterness. And if that's the case, if I were you, I would go to whomever it may be if that bitterness is there and get it straightened out. But then notice a spiritual consequences, emotional the consequences are depression. Depression. People wonder, why am I always depressed? Well, why are you always bitter? It requires emotional energy to maintain a grudge. Did you know that? Proverbs tells us, for jealousy is the rage of a man. Therefore, he will not spare in the day of vengeance. He will not regard any ransom. Neither will he rest content, though thou givest many gifts. And that's something. Emotional consequences bring depression. It causes one to be in a rage. Have you ever seen anybody go into a rage? I've been in. Judy and I were at a restaurant one time. We were sitting in the booth, and there was a couple sitting behind us. And all of a sudden, this woman walks up to that booth. She's standing right here beside me, but she's talking to that booth. And she went into a tirade. She went into a rage. You see, her husband was sitting in that restaurant with another woman. Now, I said, we've got to get out of here. You know, she may just reach in and pull out her .45. We got to go. There used to be an old hillbilly song years ago by a man by the name of Hank Snow, and some of you older people may understand. He had this song, Moving On. And I felt like that it was time to move on. We got up and we left. You see, bitterness can cause people to go into a rage and do things that tomorrow they would never do. That bitterness. Notice he said there in the Hebrews, lest any root of bitterness springing up. These boys were talking to me tonight about different flowers and how all fruits come from flowers, is that what it's learned? But you see, it had to come from that root in the flower. But that little flower, and this is what we're talking about, rage, the root of bitterness, and it just flowers up, springs up. All of a sudden, that bitterness begins to boil and it springs up and it troubles you. But then it defiles other people. But then notice also the spiritual results of bitterness. Mental consequences. As a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. Proverbs chapter 15 And verse 15, the Word of God says, Proverbs 15 and verse 16, it says, better is little with the fear of the Lord than great treasure and trouble therewith. And listen to this. Better is a dinner of herbs where love is than a stalled ox and hatred therewith. A wrathful man stirreth up strife, but he that is slow to anger appeaseth strife. Mental consequences. As a man thinketh in his heart. Notice it says that better, verse 17, better is a dinner of herbs. Now, you that have difficulties maintaining the right weight, don't know anybody in here that does that, but if there happens to be anybody, and you listen to all these programs, and they give you a lot of herbs, a lot of things. But according to this proverb, I'd rather have the meat. I'd rather have the stalled ox. You see, the ox is in the stall to fatten him up, to cook him, to put him on the table. Maybe have a little herbs around him. So it's amazing how that bitterness can just grab someone. I'm thinking of a time, one Sunday morning, we're on the way to church. And we're coming down the road here, and we had just come through about 4 or 5 blocks back, a radar, a speed trap. So it just so happened that as these other cars were coming on this way, they were going to go through it then 2 or 3 blocks down, and I just so happened my left hand, it just happened to hit the blinker switch on the steering wheel and blink my lights. Just happened. In that line of traffic was a black SUV, and all of a sudden, every light on that vehicle turned blue. And I went by, and I looked in my rearview mirror, and he did a U-turn. And he's right on my bumper, just like that. And the thing about it, we had just come through Dunkin' Donuts, and I had a dozen donuts. And you know how donuts and police, you know, they seem to go together, don't they? Well, this guy I was nervous because I also had my Second Amendment privilege down beside me. And so I rolled the window down, and here stands this police officer, about 6'6". His waist is about that big around, and his chest is about that wide. And he doesn't have a hair on his head, and he's as red as a strawberry in his face. And he wants to discuss the virtues of obeying the speed limit. And I wasn't speeding, but he wanted to discuss the virtues of obeying the law, which I thought was quite appropriate there. But I looked at him, and honestly, the veins on the side of his neck were as big as my finger. This man is about to come unglued. And I better not offer him a donut at this point. And he, for 5 minutes or longer, he went up one side of me and down the other. And I really realized myself that I should not have done that. He said, what if there was a murderer or somebody going by that needed to be running from the law and you tipped them off? Now, having law enforcement in my family and first responders in my family, it dawned on me, you're right, I should not have done that. But it's amazing how this man was in a rage. I talked later to a highway patrolman. He said it sounds like he was on something. I said, well, his adrenaline was really moving that day. I know that. But you see, sometimes rage can just take over a person. Now, he didn't write me a ticket, but he says, "You go on and don't you do that." And I said, "Yes, sir," and I've not done that anymore. But then not only are there mental consequences, but notice there is bitterness can be. Now notice he said in the Hebrews that bitterness can affect other people. But turn with me to the book of Deuteronomy. We understand one of the spiritual results of bitterness is that bitterness can be handed down. Deuteronomy chapter 5. The Lord said, "Thou shalt not bow down thyself unto them," this is the idols, "nor serve them, for I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me." Did you notice he said to the third and the fourth generation of them that hate me? Bitterness can be handed down. Is it Kentucky and West Virginia? Is that where the McCoy Hatfields, is that where they fought for so many years? And that all that was handed down over the years. Listen, that being from the hills of Tennessee, they're just, and I love Tennessee, but I know from past experience, if there were people that your grandma and your grandpa or your great-grandma and great-grandpa hated, or your great-great-great-great-grandma and grandpa hated, you were supposed to hate them too. I mean, that's just in your blood. And according to the book of Deuteronomy, it's in your blood. Unless we stop it. I'm going to ask you tonight, do you know the consequences of bitterness? Why not ask God to search your heart and take care of that bitter spirit? If God shows you there's a bitter spirit in your life and in you, and view it as what God views it as, sin. And ask God to forgive you. Folks, there have been times that I've had to do just this one thing. I've had to ask God to forgive me, been bitter. And I think it's the Christian thing to do. Because if you don't, it's going to be on you. In my own life, my own experience past, there was an experience in my life that took everything that I had. Everything. Monetarily, business, home, everything. And it's all because of something somebody else did. And folks, I carried that bitterness, and some of you have heard me say this before, but I carried that bitterness around, and it just ate me alive. I mean, it got onto me. I could not think anything else but that. And there were three people involved in that caused this whole thing. And I shall never forget. I was on the way down Wade Green Road right over here, back when it was still a two-lane road. And some of you that ever traveled that, you remember that there was quite a wide shoulder there. And I pulled over on the bridge right there one day, and didn't intend to jump over the bridge. I mean, I wasn't that stupid, but I just pulled over, turned the car off, and I sat there and wept probably for 15 or 20 minutes. And I said, "Lord, I can't carry this anymore. I can't carry this burden anymore. And Lord, I'm going to give it to you. Lord, I hate those men for what they did and what they've done to my life." But I can't carry that hatred and that bitterness. And Lord, I'm giving it to you. And I'm going to ask you to deal with it as you please. If you deal with them, that's your business. If you don't, that's up to you. But I'm confessing that as bitterness in my own heart, and I'm giving it to you. And folks, it was almost like being born again. I mean, I'm telling you what, that bitterness just came off of my shoulders. Oh, and I just, hallelujah, I could have run a race, I believe. And you know, within the next year, God had allowed my path to cross each one of these three men. And I was able to walk up to them, put out my hand and shake hands and say, I love you and I'm praying for you. Now, I couldn't have done that a year before. I could have pulled out a .45 and killed them. I don't really mean that. But I was just such a burden to me. But I was able to shake each one of them's hand and tell them with a clear conscience that I gave all of that to the Lord. And oh, folks, it's just amazing. It's just amazing what God can do. I'm going to ask you, has God spoke to your heart tonight regarding bitterness and hatefulness? And you don't want it to affect you physically for sure, but you sure don't want to affect you spiritually. I'm going to ask if we'll come with a song, and maybe you'll just want to slip out of where you are and say, Lord, the devil's been trying to get me to be bitter and hateful and cause hatred to come up about a situation. And I just want you to help me to fight that off and not let it be. Maybe God's spoken to your heart about someone that maybe has done you wrong, or someone that's done something that you know that wasn't right and it's affected you in some way. While we stand, if you would, and with our heads bowed and eyes closed, I'm going to ask you, would you just be willing to slip out of where you are and come to an old-fashioned altar as we play a song or whatever, and just begin to ask the Lord to help you. You say, well, preacher, I'm not bitter, but there's some things that could make me bitter. Well, why don't you come pray about it? Why don't we just come talk to the Lord about it? Would you do that tonight? Would you be willing just to slip out of where you are and say, I want to get that before the Lord before it happens? And would you do that? Amen.